can't say it. Thank the Lord for that. Just a reminder, it'll be worth it all when we get home. Just to see His face. I thank God we have a hope that's real in Him. In the song they sang about because He lives, we can face tomorrow, we can face all that life puts for us. So thankful. So thankful that he lives and ever reigns, and He's all that we need to face life. I saw while we were on vacation a little sign several places. And the first time I saw it in the hotel we were at, and then I saw it in the parks, and it caught my attention. And it was a simple little sign that said, "Area of Refuge." And I wanted to understand what it was all about. Said that those were areas in times of storms or some reason that you couldn't get somewhere to a place of shelter, that was an area of refuge and a place to get. Thing that crossed my mind was this, that this to me is an area of refuge, a place that we can come, gather together, find encouragement, find strength to face life and all that it puts on us. I thank God for this is my area of refuge, place of safety, place that I can find help in the Lord. But even beyond that, I'm glad the Lord is my area of refuge. I'm glad He is my rock and my fortress, my high tower. He is my strength and all that I need. And I thank Him and I praise Him for that. That's been on my mind all week. Every time I've seen one of those signs, I would think about the house of the Lord. I would be reminded of my Savior and my refuge that I have in Him. I thank God. You know what else I thought about? There's a lot of people, I guarantee you, passed by those signs and never gave them a thought and never paid attention to them. Just like the way they treat the house of the Lord. People will ride by this place and this church never give them a thought and never consider what they can find in the house of God. Oh, but I'm so thankful that we have such a refuge in Him today. What a blessing. Don't know why the Lord wanted me to share that, but I just had it in my heart that I needed to today. Appreciate the lesson, Brother Andy taught. I appreciate Brother Adam going to be preaching for us in just a moment. So thankful for the message last Sunday that he brought, and so hungry, so looking forward to what God put on his heart today. So, Adam, you come on around. Preach what God's given you. Open your heart to the Word of the Lord. And Adam, you just honor Him today. Appreciate you.
Scripture this morning, believe John chapter 19. Thankful that it's going to work at all. can't tell what we're going through and why we're going through it, as Andy's already said. But there's a purpose for everything we have to deal with in our life. And I'm thankful that when we see his face, we're going to realize he's worth everything that we went through down here. Trial, tribulation, valley, no matter what it may be, it'll be worth it. If you can find your place, I'll invite you to stand. Prayer is to read the God's word. In John chapter number 10, beginning in verse number 7, it says, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. And all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that I may have, that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." I'll ask Chris if you would lead us in a word of prayer.
Father, we'll thank you for another opportunity to call upon the name, Lord. Thank you for another opportunity to be in the house of God this morning, Lord. Now we ask you, big brother Adam, Lord, that you've got any goal of preaching and using, Lord. Lord, bringing members, thank you today. Lord, you know if there's one other sound of my voice that doesn't know you to free part of sin, Lord, I pray you'll put preaching on heavy and real. You'll save, of course, everlasting too late. Lord, we ask that you continue to bless and help this church. Help a girl in grace and knowledge of you. Lord, be with all those on the prayer request list, Lord. You know the ones in the nursing home, you know the show you, you know the sick and witness. And Lord, again, if there be one or sound of my voice, doesn't know you in free part of sin, Lord, I pray you put conviction on heavy and real disabled. Bless Adam, help him, Lord, now. Give us open hearts here at us, Lord. And everything is said and done, and we'll bow our unworthy heads and hearts and say, Jesus. Amen.
As we look in this familiar passage of Scripture, see that Jesus is in another parable and relating it to that which is of a shepherd and a sheep, something that they would know and understand during that time and age. You and I don't understand as much because we don't raise sheep, but they would understand what Jesus was saying here and the mindset behind it all. But as we jump into these few verses of Scripture that the Lord is God, I'm not being long this morning, just a few things the Lord's laid on our heart. We see right off the bat that Jesus is talking about in verse number 7, he mentions, "I am the door of the sheep." And in verse number 9, he mentions, "I am the door of the sheep." And the thought throughout the entirety of these verses in which the Lord's just pushed out to me through all these is that which the Lord is the door, and what the door would mean to you and I in our lives. The door, if you and I would look at it in the aspect of which we live, that door is the access to get home for you and I. We can drive a vehicle, we can get to the house, but we'll never get inside of our home without a door. And that's what Jesus is throughout this passage in which he says. He lays out a few things of why he is worthy to be the door to give access. And in verse number 11, he says he giveth his life. In verse number 15, he says he laid down my life. In verse number 17, he says I laid down my life. In verse number 18, two times, he said he laid it down, talking about his life. So when we begin to read and think about the door, Jesus being the door, the access in which we would have to get home, the first thing we think about is the cross of Calvary and the salvation that's needed for you and I. As we would go back and you begin to read the Scriptures about the salvation that was needed,
We see that that there was one that had to be sent forth. There was lambs that were sacrificed. There was doves that was sacrificed. None of that would ever suffice to cover the sins of men. It had to be done time and time again. But we see that before the eons of time, there was preparation already made and everything laid out of what had to take place for Jesus to be the door. He already knew that His life had to be laid down on the cross of Calvary.
Yes.
And I believe, I like to think of things in a personal matter of how they could relate to me. And I believe before everything of creation was all set in motion, before the world and people were created, I was still the thought in the mind of a Heavenly Father. And I can't help but believe He's thinking of me, and He's saying, there's a boy going to be born on December the 7th of 1990. And his name's going to be Adam Williams, and he's going to need a way of salvation. And when he's 7 years old, I'm going to convict him. I'm going to show him that he's lost, but there's not going to be a way for him to come to know me unless there's somebody dies on the cross of Calvary. And he willingly come underneath of that fact. You could relate it to you. Every one of you could say the same thing. He done it for me. He come down here to this walk of life, bear all the trials, all the tribulations, all the sorrow. And read about what happened around the cross of Calvary. It's a familiar story to anybody that's been around the house of God. We read about what took place during the crucifixion. We read about the scourging that would take place. And when we talk about a beating that takes place, we're not talking about something that happens and then there's a few bruises left. But we're talking about a man that looked like he had been mauled by something. His body was unrecognizable. And He went through that for you and me. That's what we deserve to have to go through. We deserve that punishment, but still, yet He went through that. As He hung on the cross at Calvary, we see that He could have brought Himself down. Said, that's enough, but yet He hung on the cross for you and I. Laid down His own life, but then you've got to think about the other aspect of it. What did it take for Him to leave heaven? That's something that you and I would look forward to. That's something that you and I read about, something that you and I would imagine, all the glories and beauties of heaven, what the city would look like, all the peace around about the throne of God, and how easy things would be, and all the fellowship, and there's no trials, no tribulations, no bickering, none of that would take place, no death inside of heaven. And yet He stepped out and come down here for you and I. And the Word of God to tell us in these verses, as Jesus is laying it out before them, He says, I am worthy to be the door of access. He said, a man would have to come through me to know me as Savior and Lord to get into heaven. That's the only place. That's the only way to get into heaven. He talks about other ways. He talks about the hirelings, the thieves that have come to steal and to kill and to destroy. He's saying there's other religions out there. There's other people teaching, you know, that there is other ways to get to heaven by works or by doing this or by doing that and certain rituals. He said, but there's no other way but salvation. The thing is, a lot of people like to complicate the thing of the gospel. That's what these thieves and hirelings are. Oh, well, this has got to be set in order. There's legalism creeping in of if you don't fit this mold, then you can't go to heaven. But not according to Jesus. He said, I'm the door. He tells us in other scriptures, all you got to do is knock. All you got to do is ask. And He'll save you. And that destination will be set.
Yes.
But He talks about the door and the aspect of He's the door to get in. He's the one, and it says that He's worthy because He laid down His own life. And we begin to think about that aspect of it. If I can't get in no other way, because in Revelation, John talks about the judgment that was to take place. And he says when they got ready to start issuing the judgment, our pastors already went through this, they could find no one worthy to open the book except the Lamb, except Him. That shows us that's our only way.
Yes.
We're convicted at a certain time in our life. The Lord will reveal to us that we know that He is righteous and holy, and that we know that we have sinned, that we've failed Him and come short. Word of God to let us know. That's the appointed time to accept Him. We can't put it off. When that door's open, that's when you come in. A door is something that on our house, and I'll get into it later down what we're talking about. When I open that door, you can come in. But when I close that door, you're shut out of my house until I allow that door to be opened again. And that's the same way salvation is. He's going to convict. And He's going to give you the opportunity to step in. But there's a coming a day. He's going to shut the door. And that's going to be it for you. That's going to be it. No more second chances. But not only is that the door of access to get home. When I think that that's the door and our access of getting home, I can't help but think about the rapture for the child of God. Yeah. You know, you and I, we're saved by the grace of God. We know we're going to heaven. We know we're going to home. And but when this world is, it's time for it to be destroyed and everything set aside and put at ease in this world, I can't get to heaven by myself. I don't know how. Don't know exactly where it's at. I can't jump high enough. I can't fly high enough. I can't do anything to get to where He's at. But Jesus is going to come back and take us home and be with Him. The Word of God will tell us the trumpet's going to sound, and in the twinkling of an eye, we're going home. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? You know, we think about Him as the door right here is our Savior. We like to imagine what He's actually going to look like, what He's going to be like, but we can't behold His glory. We can't imagine the glory that's around the throne of God. We can't imagine what He fully endured on the cross of Calvary for you and I. We can't imagine of what all He steered us and protected us from in this life. But when we're raptured out and He takes us home, everything's going to be settled and set aside. I'm going to get a full view of everything that's taking place. But not only the rapture, there's some, I believe, that's in the midst of the church that's going to go through the rapture, that's going to be raptured out. I believe we're that close, but there's going to be some that's still going to go through the grave. When it comes to that point, Him still being the access to get home, He's the one that's going to lead and guide. You know, death is something that's uncertain and it's scary. I'm not talking about, you know that you're saved, you know you're going to heaven, but you've never faced death before. Death is something that gets you uneasy. Something that unsure about what's actually taking place, even though you know the final destination. But you think about over in the book of Psalms, they talk about the shepherd and the staff that he would have. You know what that staff was for? It was to lead and to guide. Can you imagine what happens at the time of death when we come to that place of uncertainty? And then that Christian hits a place of peace in their life before they take their last breath. He said, what happens? I can only imagine that our Lord took that staff and He's beginning to guide and make things easy for the child of God. He is our access home. He is the door. Whether it's through salvation or whether it's through the rapture, He is the access to get home. Not only is that door the access to get into the home, but that door on our house, you think about it, it is a protection to keep everything out. You and I would go into our house. A lot of people lock the door during the day, but certainly at night. You go in, and before you go to bed, you check the door. You make sure the deadbolt's locked. You make sure your alarm's set if you got one. You want to keep everybody out of that house to make sure that you're protected and that you're safe. And that's what the Lord is, if He is the door. He would talk about it in verse number 12, talking about seeing the wolf coming afar off and the hirelings, that they're going to leave. They're going to forsake those sheep because they really don't care. He said, but I'm the one. He said, that I'm going to see that wolf and I'm not leaving. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be the one that predator has got to go through to get to my children. That He is, and David would say it over in the Psalms, that He is our high tower. What that high tower was, and you got fire towers around here, they're not used anymore, but you could see them still setting up in places. There were things that you would get up real high and you could see way off to see if there was a problem. That's what our Lord is. He's the one that's sitting up high and exalted. He is the high tower that sees the enemy coming in, which lets me know that there's nobody ever going to catch Him off guard that's going to come into my life. No trials, no problems, no situation, no valley that I'll ever face is going to catch Him off guard. But not only does David talk over in the Psalms about Him being a high tower, but David also talks about Him being the shield. What the shield is something that is a defensive weapon in close quarters. So as he said, the hireling would turn and he would leave, and he would leave you to fight on your own and be destroyed. He just said, not only if I'm going to see the enemy coming from afar off, he said, and be prepared for them. He said, but I'm going to fight them when they come into your life. He said, I'm going to be in the close quarters. That shield is showing a battle's taking place. And that's what's happening to you and I as a child of God. There's things coming every direction at you and I to seek and destroy our lives. And He is there. He is the one taking all the hits. He's the one that's making sure that we don't get cut up and bruised and battered in this life. Sure, it seems like we struggle, but He is the one that's taking all the arrows and blocking them off of you and I. I don't think we fully understand what all He's doing for us when it says He's the shield. But then David would also talk about over in Psalms about the wings, about getting under the wings. What I think about when I think about under the wings of the Lord, I think about turkeys. You can see a hen afar off, 100 yards or so, and she'll begin to move away from you. But when those little ones are around her, what she'll do is she'll get down and she'll fluff them wings out a little bit. And they'll all run up underneath that hen. And then she'll sit there. I can walk all the way up on top of her and she's not going to move like she normally would. You can drive a car up the side of the road and they'll lay there like something's wrong. You can have a predator run inside and get almost all the way up to her. And she's going to lay there and not move. You say, why? Because she's protecting them ones that's around her. That's what He is for you and I. Those wings are something that those little birds get underneath her. The hawks can no longer see her. The coyotes can no longer see them little ones. All the danger to them little ones, they're out of sight of all that thing. So what it's saying is, David mentioned it over in some of the Psalms too, is blinding the enemy's eyes into where I'm at. They can't get to me because they can't see me a lot of times. The Lord just fluffed them wings out and we crawl up underneath them. Pastor talked about it a while ago. That's our refuge. That's the place where we can seek shelter when the times of life get hard. He is the protection of the door to our house, to our home, in this walk of life. But not only is the door that way of access to get the home, not only is it a way of protection for the home, but the door is a way of maintaining comfort in the house. You think about what that door does in the summertime. It gets hot, 90-something degrees this past week, a few days. You come into the house and you leave that door standing wide open. What happens? All air goes out. And it gets uncomfortable. Right, you think about the wintertime when it gets down real cold. You walk in the house, the door's not shut, all the heat goes out. And there's a problem. You get cold. But what it's saying is He's our door. He's the one that's going to open and close and give us what we need. It gives a reference to that in verse number 9. It says, they shall go in and out and find pasture. What He's saying is He is the one that is going to make us comfortable in this Christian walk of life. Not in certain ways in which we're not going to face any trials. But He's saying that He'll supply our every need. Everything we'll ever need. You know, I look at life and I think, you know, it would be so much better if I could have this amount of money, or if I could have this kind of job and I could achieve these things in life, and things would seem to work so much easier if all I had all this set in line. But I don't need those things. I begin to think about how God has supplied our every need. He's given us the clothes. He's given us the roof over our head. He's given us the money in our pocket. He's given us above and beyond to eat when there's people that can't afford any of them things. Physically, He has supplied our every need. And then I begin to think about times in my life when it seems like I've hit the valleys of life and the trials, and I don't know which way to go. I don't know what to do. It seems like you're to the point where you're spinning your wheels and you're ready to throw your hands up. But He's still that door comfort. He's the one making sure that everything's set in order, that everything's okay. You say, what's happening? Well, there's times in those trials where it seems like God's silent. It seems like God's not speaking. seems like no matter what, God's not a million miles away. He's a million miles away from me. I began to think over in Psalms chapter number 28 when David talks about the silence of the Lord, and he says he's crying out unto God, and he says, God, he didn't need you to be silent. He said, God, I don't need that silence of my life. And David keeps crying out. And keeps crying out. And keeps crying out. You say, what happens? By the end of the chapter, the Lord has spoken unto David. You know, I don't know why we face some of the things that we face in life. I don't know why we go through some of the trials. I don't know why we go through, it seems like, some of the darkest valleys that we could ever face. But there's a plan. God may seem like He's not there. It may seem like God is silent, but the Word of God would let us know, time and time and time again, He's in the midst. He's there. You may not see Him. He may not be the one that's standing out in front of you. It seems like you're facing it all alone. He's there. He's orchestrated everything, made sure everything's working out. You know, a lot of times I wonder, how come good people face bad things? Don't understand it. But then there's some people that I've watched even in the house of God go through trials and problems in their life that's been a help to me. And I believe a child of God, that's what He does sometimes. Just works everything out. You say, Lord, my whole world's turned upside down. Don't worry. He's still there to bring you comfort. It may be that you don't experience the way that you think you need to in this life. But there's a coming a day. There's a coming a day when everything's going to be set right and set at ease. But it says in verse number 10, the latter part of it, He says that they might have more abundantly. I believe He's talking about spiritual joy here. There are struggles that we face in this world that we should not let affect our worship with God. You say, why? Because a child of God will have joy because of salvation. We shouldn't get so down and discouraged that we can no longer worship Him, that we can no longer serve Him, that we can no longer be the witness that He would have us to be. We'll look over at Deuteronomy chapter number 23, in verse number 14. It says, for the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of thy camp, to deliver thee and to give up thine enemies before thee. Therefore shall thy camp be holy, that he see no unclean thing in thee and turn away from thee. There's a lot of people in life that have got the access to get to heaven. They've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Their blood's been applied, but they're not living the way that they need to. It seems like the Lord's not giving them that abundant joy. It seems like the Lord's not giving them the protection in which He gives other children of God. It seems like they're not getting the comforts that should be given to the child of God. And then you read over here in this verse. What it's saying is the Lord's in the midst. He's still there. But when you begin to let the sin and the things of this world creep in, He goes to the back burner. You know, a lot of times in our life, I wonder if we don't enjoy the things of our Christian walk of life because there's things in our household that shouldn't be there. Sure, we're going to face valleys when we're right with God, but I wonder if our Christian walk of life is harder because we're not seeing Him as the Good Shepherd, because our vision's cloudy. In that verse, it says, He'll deliver thee, talking about away from the enemies that are around about them. He says, and keep thy camp holy. There's the kicker. There's the kicker. A lot of times you and I don't think about the part of, Lord, I need to make sure my walk's right so that I can see You as the Good Shepherd in my life. He is the Good Shepherd regardless. But as my walk, is He able to use me in a way to bring honor and glory to His name? I wonder oftentimes if we forget about our sin problems until we get to the house of God. And you know what that's doing? That's affecting the world. That's affecting us being a witness. That's affecting our walk on Sunday inside the house of God. Because preparation has to be made. They weren't in the battle yet. But He's telling them, He said, make sure you're right. Make sure you're right. God will be in the midst and He'll take care of everything. This morning, I don't know what your need may be. I don't know if it is that you're lost and undone, the Lord convicts you to show you that you're lost. I don't know if you need that door as a way of salvation. I don't know if you feel like you need the door as a way of protection and comfort. I don't know if you need to get things right with God so that you can enjoy the Christian walk of life. But whatever it may be, He is the answer. He is the answer.
Amen.